make no apology for reading the scriptures. Wonderful words, as the old hymn says, wonderful words of life. It's a privilege to be able to speak the glad tidings here tonight, dear friends, because we're not speaking about a church or a creed, but about God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've convened this meeting for tonight, to tell you about God's beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners like me. Wonderful Saviour Jesus is. And I may not be much of a speaker, but my desire, dear friend, tonight is to speak well of this blessed Saviour. He's a wonderful Saviour. And I say that from my own experience, because I've known the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour for nearly 35 years. And I was a teenager when I came to know Jesus, and I knew just a little bit about what teenage life was. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew I'd told lies and done lots of other things, and I knew I wasn't right with God, and I knew I needed a Saviour, and I've known that blessed Saviour now for nearly 35 years. And I want in this gospel meeting to commend him to you and tell you that he's a wonderful Saviour. He's a real, living Saviour, not just a name in the Bible or someone who lived many years ago, but a real, living Saviour in 1989. Just the Saviour that you need and I need. And I'd like to say at the beginning of this meeting that your eternal destiny depends upon knowing this blessed Saviour. All God's thoughts centre in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way to God. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. People say it doesn't matter which way, there are many ways, but there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said, no one can come to God unless by me. It doesn't matter how anybody tries or whatever kind of influence or way may be tried, there's no other way to God than through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you come in by that door into this meeting room, so the only way into God's favour is by the door, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. He came out to make the heart of God known. People say, well, he lived a good life, and he's a good example. He's very much more than that, friend. He came out to reveal the heart of God so that we should know what God is like. And we often say to people in the street, if you only knew what God was like, you'd want to know him. And I say that to you, friend, today. If you really knew what the heart of God was like, you'd want to know him for yourself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's heart is full of blessing. That blessing is all available through the Lord Jesus. And it's open to every person. Every person. Our Saviour God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, this world is made up of all different groups, and men are separated by different things. It may be wealth. You get the rich and the poor. It may be politics. It may be religion. It may be nationality. There are all kinds of barriers. But friend, the blessed God has no barriers. Before God, we're all the same. The Bible tells us that there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are in need of a Savior. I want to speak tonight about eternal riches. Eternal riches. You know, this verse in the Proverbs, it just shows that things are not always what they might appear on the surface. People may appear to be rich and yet have nothing. You know, we live in a society today that's almost completely obsessed with money and material things. It is. And people can get tremendously wealthy overnight. Sportsmen, entertainers, become tremendously wealthy overnight. Businessmen. The whole of our society is really centered on money and the money markets, and men are afraid because if anything happens to the money market, the whole of our society goes to pieces. See the panic some time ago when that just happened and people lost millions of pounds just overnight. What does it really mean to be rich? I'm not speaking now about money, friend. I want to speak tonight to you about what Jesus said about being rich toward God and having treasure in heaven. This man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, where we read, it says that he was a rich man. That was as to the things of this life. He appeared to be rich, yet it seems he really had nothing. And I want to ask you, friend, tonight, will death rob you of everything? You may be rich, you may not be rich, but will death rob you of everything? You see this man in Luke's Gospel? He prospered in his business, as we say. And it's very applicable to the present day. People are looking on to retirement and having a good time. You don't have to be very old today before they're talking about early retirement. And going out with a golden handshake and, you know, having a good time. Well, it's a bit like this man. He prospered and he was looking to the years ahead. He said he got plenty to last him for many years. But you know how long you've got to live. Is there anybody in this room tonight can actually say how long you've got to live? This man was speaking about many years ahead. And he was going to enjoy himself, just like the present day. You see how much he figures in this thing himself, what he would do and how he'd prospered and how he was going to enjoy himself. He never thought about God. I don't know whether you think about God at all. Most of our lives are spent occupied with material things and looking after ourselves, our own selfish interests and just what we want and going our own way. And God doesn't much come into the reckoning of man today. But I'd like to ask you, dear friend, tonight, just in this short time we're together, I'd like you to ask you to think, to forget about your material things and to think about God. And to think about eternity. And to think about your precious soul. A woman at work the other day, she said she'd been listening to the preaching in the street. She said, I was interested. I said, don't you think that if there is a God, and if there is a heaven, and if there is a hell, it's urgent that we think about it and face up to it. She said, are there really those things? It's not what we say. We may have all kinds of opinions. You may have yours and I may have mine. But friend, our thoughts tonight must rest. To be sure, they must rest on the Word of God. And God's Word is very plain that there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is a day of reckoning. This man had completely left God out of his reckoning. He was thinking of many years and he was saying all these things. But you know, God has the last word. And it says in God, but God said to him. And it doesn't matter how brave our words are on our lips in our lifetime. God has the last word. And God spoke to this man. Not about many years to come. He spoke to him about this night. And I'd like to ask you, friend, I know a man, or at least I didn't know the man, I knew of a man, who used to go out and ask people in the street a question. And he'd stop them and he'd say, excuse me, I'd like to ask you a question. You don't have to answer me, but think about it. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And he'd leave them with the question. And I ask you that question tonight. You know, life here is geared up to the future. Planning the future. Even insurance. Life insurance. They say, insure your life. But it doesn't do you any good, does it? It may look after your relatives and your friends, but it doesn't do you any good. You have to face God. God said to this man, fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Friend, you may feel that this isn't a very happy message, but I hope I'll come to something happier in a minute. But I do feel, as I watched people come in this room tonight, it came to me. These are precious souls. These souls are going into eternity. When I cannot say, God knows. For some of us, it could be this night. God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared? What about your material things? You know, when somebody dies, the old question, what did he leave? Everybody wants to know what he left. Well, he left everything. You don't take it with you. Have you got anything that could be spoken of as rich toward God, as treasure in heaven? That's what we want to come to tonight. I don't want to speak to you, friend, in this hour in platitudes. I don't want you to go away and say that was a lovely sermon or something like that. I want to speak to you about your soul. And where you're going to spend eternity. And whether you'll heed the appeal of God and his grace in the gospel. Thus is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know the verse in the Proverbs that we read, the first part of it said, there is he who feigneth himself rich and hath nothing. Was this man really rich? Is it really riches? If it can all leave us, if it's not lasting, if we cannot take it with us, is it really riches? Does it really mean that much? Friend, it's just like all this world that passes away. And what then? What have you got to take into eternity? You know, as well as having nothing, there's something even more serious than that. There is a debt. There is our sins. The sin's debt. Not only by nature and by practice, Have we nothing to commend ourselves to God? We also owe a debt we cannot pay, and that's the debt of sin. We've all gone our own way. We don't have to tell one another, I hope, dear friend, I don't have to labor the point that we're all sinners. Surely every heart here tonight is honest in admitting that we've all sinned. We may not have sinned exactly in the sight of men. Our standards may be quite acceptable to men and to this world, but it's not men we have to do with, it's God. God who is infinitely holy. God who cannot look upon iniquity. He's the God we have to do with. A God who hates sin. A God who must punish sin. He's the God we have to do with. And I think we all know, whether we would admit it or not, I think that deep down inside, we all know that we have sinned against God. I know we may sin against our fellow, but you know, sin first and foremost is against God. I don't know whether you know your Bible well, perhaps most of you do, but you know, David, the king in the Old Testament, he sinned against his fellow men. He wanted another man's wife, and in order to have her for himself, he made sure her husband was killed in battle. That was David. You say he sinned. He sinned against his brother. He sinned against his fellow man. So he did. But you know what David says when he wrote his psalm? Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. Sin is first of all against God and must be given account of. How can that debt be met? We cannot meet it. Friend, I have no way. I have no way to pay my debt of sin, neither of you. Church going won't pay that debt. Good works won't pay that debt. Not so. The Word of God says that God requires that which is past. Our good works can never merit God's favor. We cannot rub out our sins by doing good deeds. You know, I do a bit of drawing in my work, and if I do something wrong, I can get a rubber out and rub it out and start again. Not so in God's sight. Sin is an offense to God, and what's more, it is a stain on my precious soul. Sin stains my soul in the sight of God, and in His sight, whatever I might be before men, I'm a sinner in God's sight. Without remedy, without way of getting right with God. But there is a way, and that's the good news. I don't know whether you know the little verse. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open so you can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Friend, that's the starting point of blessing for any soul of man. It's the cross of Jesus. Paul says in this scripture in Corinthians, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul knew it. He was no saint. I mean, he hadn't been a saint. He was when he wrote it, but he wasn't before. He was the chief of sinners. He was a blasphemer. He was one who gave his vote when Christians were put to death. He was an enemy of the Lord. But he knew the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says himself to Timothy, he says, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, but the grace of our Lord Jesus overabounded. Wonderful. Do you know the grace and love of Jesus? Do you know the love that brought him down from heaven? Wonderful. There's no other reason, friend. There's no other explanation that God should leave his heaven on high and come down to this earth in the lowly form of manhood in order to save sinners. Who can explain it apart from tracing it back to the heart of the blessed God himself? He who was rich. The Lord Jesus is a wonderful person. He's not a mere man. We're not speaking to your friend about a mere mortal man now. He who was rich. He is in his person. God over all, blessed forever. Let the deniers of the deity of Christ say what they will. Friend, the wonder of the gospel is, if there was to be a Savior, God had to come himself. And he came himself in the person of his own Son. He who was rich, not with the material riches. You think of everything was his. He made the worlds. By his word, the heavens and earth came into being. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Everything was his in the universe. It says he upholds it by the word of his power. How great Jesus is. God over all, blessed forevermore. Wonderful Savior, come to this earth. He became poor. You think, why did he leave that holy heaven, that holy home on high, to come to this world of sin and evil? He came in love. You know, the writer of this letter, he says, you know, the Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. There's no other explanation. It's not a question of theology. It's a question, friend, of the love of the Savior for guilty sinners. He came, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a Savior he is. He became poor, came into the manger. He didn't come into the palace. He didn't come in as a great public personage. He came in as a tiny babe in Bethlehem's manger. Unheralded, except by the heavenly host, who sang glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, good pleasure in men, a Savior born, but come in such a way, in lowly grace, into a manger. He didn't live in plenty, he didn't live in luxury. Says, the Son of Man has not where that he may lay his head. Is there anybody here who's wandered without a home? Friend, Jesus has been there. But I think for most of us, we all have a roof over our heads. We are all reasonably well looked after. Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. Sometimes they had no bread. He knew what it was to hunger. He wandered. We went about weary. He knew what weariness was. But there was more, friend, than that. He went down to Calvary's cross. Think of the poverty. You think of the love that brought the Savior down from heaven for me, for a sinner like me. You know, friend, you have to. The gospel is a very personal thing. To get the blessing, you have to take it for yourself. Jesus came to die for sinners. He came to pay the debt of sin that we couldn't pay. He came to bear the punishment that we deserved. He took our place. He stood there. He hung there on Calvary's cross in my place, the sinner's place. He went there for me. He was forsaken of God for me. He was made sin for me. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Friend, that's the love of Jesus. Paul says, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus. He came to meet our need. Do you realize that you have a need? God, may God grant every soul in this room to realize that you have a need. I knew a young woman who came to our gospel, and she'd been a chapel goer as long as she could remember. And she said after the gospel, I never knew before that I needed a Savior. Friend, God grant that you may know tonight that you really need a Savior. If you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to get right with God, you need a Savior. You can't do it yourself. The Lord Jesus, in matchless love and grace, gave himself upon the cross at Calvary and bore our sin there and died for us. Christ died for our sins. Shed his precious blood. Wonderful, isn't it? The grace of our Lord Jesus. I met a man the other day in town. I offered him a tract. He was an old, feeble old man. He said, I was saved last Sunday. He said, I'm 83 years of age and I was saved last Sunday. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We met a lady in hospital. She said, I came to know the Lord as my Savior when I was 79 years of age and I was baptized when I was 80. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not too late for anyone in this room tonight to get saved, to know the Savior. He's not on the cross. He's finished the work. He's made atonement for sin. The matter's settled, finished. Before Jesus died, he said, it is finished. God doesn't look for us to do anything. We couldn't do it anyway. But Jesus did it all. He finished the work on the cross to the entire and eternal satisfaction of the blessed God. And God has testified his pleasure in Christ and in his finished work by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in heaven. And that's where he is today. My blessed Savior is a real living Savior at God's right hand. And his love is just the same for sinners. Just the same. And his power is still the same for sinners to save them. It says he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. What a wonderful Savior. It says he did it for your sakes. For your sakes. I don't know whether you know these letters to the Corinthians, but these you would have said they weren't very nice people to know before they were converted. They weren't. They were fornicators, some of them. They were adulterers. They were thieves. They were covetous. Paul says these things were some of you, but ye have been washed. How wonderful that is. You see, these are the kind of people that Jesus came to save. Not the self-righteous people, those who feel they have no need of repentance, but vile, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. They're the ones that Jesus died to save. Friend, I don't know whether you have any conviction of sin tonight. May God give it you. But let me tell you this. It was for you that Jesus died. In love he gave his all on Calvary's cross. Paul says, for your sakes. I think those Corinthian Christians' hearts would be moved as they thought of what they'd been, you know, and of the grace of the Lord Jesus that had brought him down for such vile sinners as they had been. But Paul says, you've been washed. Washed. Wonderful. You know, that's the remedy for sin. There's cleansing from sin tonight. It's the first blessing in the gospel. Forgiveness of sins. Wonderful blessing. Priests can't forgive sins. God alone can forgive sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. That old man I was telling you about of 83 years of age, he said, you know, my wife just died a year ago. He said, we've been churchgoers all our days. And he said, when she died, I had time to think when I was on my own. I was alone in the house and I had plenty of time to think. And he said, I realized that for all my church going, I wasn't saved. I was still in my sins. I wasn't forgiven. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I'd been to church all my life, but I didn't know what to do. He said, I thought, if I went to God and I tried to remember my sins and tell God about them and confess them and ask his forgiveness, well, he said, the next day I'd remember some more and then I'd have to go back again. And the same the next day. And then he said, it came to me. He said that God knows all my sins. And he said, I got down on my knees and I said to God, you know all my sins. And he said, I asked him for forgiveness. And I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I got up a different man. 83 years of age. What a trophy of grace. You know, it can happen. It happened in my life when I was 13. Probably giving my age away now. But it happened to that man when he was 83. It can happen to you, whatever your age. If you're prepared to go God's way, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. A door that is open so you can come in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You must begin at the cross. That's where the work was finished. That's where the Savior went in order that we might be saved. The way back. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something to believe. Believe that Jesus died for you. I know a man who was in the church. He was a member of a church. And he was a counselor at Billy Graham's crusade in the 1960s. And he wasn't saved. He knew all the terms of the gospel. He believed it all happened, and one day he was out at his garden, and a shaft of light came into his heart, and he realized when Jesus died, he died for my sins. Most people would say Jesus is the Savior and that Jesus died for sinners. He died for me. He said it was like a shaft of light coming into my heart when I realized that what I'd known in a general way as truth actually applied to me. That Jesus died for my sins. And he said, I was saved. You can be saved. Wonderful. You can know the power of the precious blood of Jesus to wash away your sin. You believe he died for you. There's something to believe. There's someone to receive. Someone to receive. Will you open your heart and life to Jesus today? You know, we're not speaking about pretty pictures or nice thoughts. We're speaking about a real Savior. And there's wonderful blessings in Jesus. You know, if I said to you, there's all the blessings of God, and they're yours. There's forgiveness. There's peace. There's joy. There's eternal life. There's the Holy Spirit. There's a home in heaven. And I said to you, God has them for you, and they're absolutely free. God is offering you them. You might sit there, and you might look at them, and you might admire them, and you might say, yes, that's very nice. But unless you stretch out your hand and take it, you'll never get them. Friend, you must come in faith to Jesus. There's something to believe. The facts of the gospel that when Jesus died, he died for your sin. And when he shed his precious blood, he shed it to cleanse you from your sin. But then there's someone to receive Jesus as a living Savior. It's not only terms we speak to you tonight, but we present to you Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Will you put out your hand in faith and receive this precious Savior? Where you are in your seat tonight, just pray. You don't have to pray aloud. You don't have to make a show about it. But pray. And speak to Jesus in your heart. And tell him that you're a sinner. And tell him that you're sorry about your sins. And tell him that you believe that he died for you. And tell him you want to come in. You want him to come into your heart and life. And he will. You will. I challenge you tonight, friend. Make way for Jesus in your life. He'll bring you eternal blessings. Forgiveness of sins. Security. Why people are scared stiff today. People in their homes. People on the streets. In the cities. People are scared. It's not a safe place. But think of eternal security. Jesus said about those who believe in him, no one can pluck them out of my hand. think of being eternally safe. We don't preach a gospel because it's not in the Bible that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. The work of Jesus, when it is believed in faith in the soul, is eternal. It goes on forever. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on Him. Wonderful Savior. Forgiveness of sins. Eternal security. And to know that we're loved. There's a lot of lonely people in the world. A lot of people that feel nobody loves them. We want to tell you tonight that God loves you with an everlasting love. Do you know those who believe in Jesus? Do you know what it says about them? Nothing. Not even death itself can separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? To know that you're loved and loved forever. Eternally loved. Peace. Why? The nations strive after it, and it's as far away as ever it was. But you can know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is made peace, the Word says this, made peace by the blood of His cross. And He gives peace. He'll give it to you when you believe. A peace that even though you may have troubles in life, a peace that nothing can disturb. Peace with God. Have you got it? You can have it by believing in Jesus. Joy. Real satisfaction, things that don't run out, that money can't buy. Jesus said, if you drink of the water of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water which I give, you'll never thirst forever. Would you like to know a joy and a satisfaction that you'll have forever? You can have it by believing in Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know one of the first things the Holy Spirit does is to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. The love that's in the heart of the eternal God that moved Him to give His Son. He sheds abroad in our poor human hearts by His Holy Spirit, which He gives to us. And a home in heaven. Wonderful, isn't it? An inheritance. Blessings beyond compare. The hymn writer said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Friends, silver and gold, all the material things will pass away. But if you haven't got Christ, you've got nothing. If you have Christ, you've got everything. We're going to inherit with Him. All that is His, He wants to share with us. Wouldn't you like to come into it? Why remain outside? Oh, come to Jesus tonight. Accept Him as your own personal Savior. Moses, you know, just finished referring to that scripture. He made a choice. You know, every one of us before we go out of this room tonight will have made a choice. Either to receive Christ or to reject Him. Oh friend, don't be a Christ rejecter. Accept Him into your heart tonight as your own Savior. He chose to suffer affliction along with the people of God rather than enjoy the temporary pleasure of sin. Yes, it does mean a change of lifestyle. There are things in the world, we know what they are. The Bible admits it. It acknowledges them. The temporary pleasures of sin. They're there, but they are only temporary. And what we're speaking to you tonight about are things that are lasting and eternal. And Jesus is calling you. He wants you to follow Him. Perhaps there's a believer here that's backslidden. He's calling you. He wants you to make a choice. Moses refused. He could have been famous. He could have had all the wealth of Pharaoh's court. But no, he thought there's something better. The reproach of the Christ. You know, Jesus didn't promise His followers an easy time. We don't preach the modern cross. We don't preach the good time religion. Jesus didn't. He didn't offer that to those who believed in Him. He said, if you come after Me, you'll have to take up your cross and follow Me. It's the way that Jesus went, the way of the cross, but it leads home to glory. Take up your cross and follow me. Isn't he a worthy Savior? You're a backslider, friend, tonight. Isn't Jesus worthy of more than that? He went to Calvary's cross for you and loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Are you not prepared to make a choice tonight and commit your lot in with the people of God? First to Jesus, then to the people of God. He says, for he had respect to the recompense. You know, there is a recompense. It's worthwhile to follow Jesus. You may lose out. People may laugh at you at work or at school, or wherever you are. You don't do this. You don't go to the pub at dinner time and all this kind of thing. But you know, there's rich compensation for suffering and loss. There is. Moses had respect to the recompense. And Jesus said, if you'll come after me, he said, you'll have 100-fold more in the present time and in the coming age, life eternal. Oh, there's wonderful blessings. Worthwhile being a Christian. And if you are a Christian, it's worthwhile being a real one. Friend, come to Christ tonight. Dear Christian, backsliding Christian, come back to Christ. Be a real Christian. Let your light burn for him. Now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I close, friend, with just that appeal. Come to Jesus. Come, ere it be too late, to Jesus come, for his name's sake.